These readings are largely about eating, meals. And Isaiah puts the words in God's mouth, "Come to me, all you who are weary, those of you who are thirsty and hungry, come to the water. Drink without cost." You know, he's addressing the poor. But then he says, why pay a price for food that doesn't satisfy? In other words, come to God. Don't come to the world. God is inviting us to an eternal banquet, feasting on God's very life, not just ordinary food. And Jesus in the gospel feeds the crowd, and they were satisfied. Remember Isaiah, don't pay a big price for food that doesn't satisfy. Come to me. And now Jesus on the hillside feeds them until they are satisfied. Meals in the Old Testament often accompanied covenant relationships. So on Mount Sinai, with the covenant that God makes with the people of Israel through Moses, after the law is given and after the covenant is sealed, then they celebrated a sacrificial meal. And that was common in the Old Testament period. Even kings making treaties and covenants with each other would celebrate that with a meal. And the mention in Isaiah of David, the covenant will be renewed as it was in David. Well, David, of course, was Israel's greatest king. David united the 12 disparate tribes into one nation, into one people, who were scattered before that and were scattered after that. But there was this one crowning moment when David had united all the 12 tribes. And now Jesus feeds the crowd, satisfies them, and there are 12 baskets left over, symbolizing the 12 tribes of Israel brought together once again in Jesus. And Jesus is the new Moses. Moses is the lawgiver on Mount Sinai. Jesus preaches the Beatitudes on the mountain just before this meal. Jesus is the new David. He's the son of David. And David not only united the 12 tribes, but he is seen as God's special son. But he's only a foretaste and a promise of the real son, Jesus, who is the son of God. But Isaiah promises that we'll all share in that sonship, in that childhood relationship with God. And in Jesus, who is the son for all eternity, invites us into sonship and daughterhood, invites us into that same filial relationship that he has with the Father, so we become children of God, heirs of the promise. And meals are not just sacrificial, celebrating covenant relationships. Meals in the Old Testament also are a symbol of the heavenly banquet, the eternal feasting in the family of God. And we can't help but think of Eucharist here. Jesus feeding the multitude on the hillside is a precursor and a promise of the Last Supper, which is another sacrificial banquet. And both of them, the feeding on the hillside and the Last Supper, foreshadow his death and resurrection. And when we celebrate Eucharist, this is a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. We are eating today in the present moment, partaking in advance, sacramentally, that heavenly banquet of the future glory. So, as we often say here, past, present, and future, they all just dissolve into the present moment. Jesus is as here with us today as he was at the Last Supper. the glorified Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven for all eternity is here with us today. And we are with the Last Supper. We are with Calvary. And we are with the eternal banquet in heaven. Time collapses and it's all here in this present moment. Jesus tells his disciples when they come to him with this problem, look at all these people. How are we going to feed them? Let's release the crowd so they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves. And Jesus says, why don't you feed them yourselves? And of course, their reaction is the same as ours would be. What? Who are we? We can't feed these people. All we have is 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. Barley loaves, by the way, were the food of the poor. 5 and 2 is 7. And 7 is the perfect number. 7 is love. And so Jesus is basically telling them, just love. Be me to the world. Feed them yourselves. And we who are so conscious of our sin and our weakness, so conscious of our fear and our feelings of inadequacy, when we get sent out from Mass every Sunday to feed the world, our response is the same as those disciples. How could we possibly do that? But Jesus isn't asking them literally to feed the world. He's asking them to be his instruments in feeding the world. Can we save the world? No. But Jesus can. And we are his body. We are the instruments sent from Mass to do his work. And then to trust that since we are his body, he will be there with us. That wherever we are, Christ is. And we trust in the power and grace of God to work through us, to make us his instruments. We're humbled by that. We're challenged by that. We're afraid of it. But we also take up the challenge. We take up the cross. We become sacrificial beings. We become food for the world.